Bill, I don't wait for Communion Sunday at church, or even for the Lord's nudging. I've started to take communion as a tool in my intercessory toolbox, as a purposeful and proactive part of my relationship with God. I usually take it every day, sometimes multiple times a day. And this new intentionality has shifted my expectation and understanding of the power behind that little wafer and small cup of juice. A tool of intercession. On Sunday, April 9th, 2017, our church body ended a corporate fast. My husband preached a wonderful sermon on the impact of communion, and at the end of the service, we took communion as a congregation. We prayed together, applied the blood of Jesus to our family and communities, and celebrated what Jesus did for all mankind. That morning I prayed, like I always did, for each of my family members, but I also felt moved to pray for two of my best friend's children who are lost in their spiritual lives. I pleaded the blood of Jesus over their lives and remembered all that Jesus had done for them when he went to the cross. Even after we were finished taking communion, though, I couldn't shake the feeling that I was supposed to keep praying for them. Sometimes the Lord invites us into what I like to call seasons of prayer. These are moments in time when something or someone is put on our heart to pray for, and we just can't let it go. In those seasons, the Holy Spirit will press upon us to keep praying for that specific person or issue. This intensive focus may last just a day or much longer, and in that time of prayer, we may get to see the answer to our prayers, or we may just be invited into the process without seeing any specific results. But either way, we continue to pray because we are being pulled to do so. And usually, just as quickly as a season of prayer comes, it will lift. Praying for the children of my friends lasted for several days. At the end of that time, I knew that I was released from the season of prayer when these two individuals were lifted from my heart. Not that I didn't still love and pray for them, but they weren't constantly in front of my face. Even though there hasn't been a conclusion to their story yet, these two are both still on their journey back to the Lord. I know that the time of praying for them intentionally and taking communion, pleading the blood of Jesus over their lives, was fruitful. In those moments, we may not always be able to see the direct results of our prayers, but we can rest assured that another seed was planted. Anytime we are entering a season of prayer for an individual or an issue, we are co-laboring with God. When I use communion during these seasons of prayer, I joyfully get to do my part in declaring heaven over their lives. One thing that is important for me to watch out for, though, is allowing a spirit of heaviness to remain on me after I pray. Sometimes, when we get burdened in prayer for someone, the weight of their situation can start to drag us down. I lived this way for many years. Now I'm really careful about the feelings of heaviness. For me, if I start to accept a feeling of heaviness, it will try to take me down a path that leads into depression. I try really hard not to carry it. At the end of every prayer, I make sure that I surrender the person or situation back to the Lord, so I'm not carrying it. I will take communion, plead the blood of Jesus over that person, and then I have to let it go. It's not healthy for me. And when we carry that heaviness, there's also an element of withholding our trust from God. My friends' kids are not aided by my depression. I care deeply about their welfare, but ultimately, he's got them. I just get to be on the winning team. Judy Franklin has worked for Bill and me for over 20 years. Around 10 years ago, she heard a teaching on communion and felt burdened to pray for her son's salvation. When he was 6 years old, he had accepted Jesus into his heart, and he had been filled by the Holy Spirit as a young man. But as an adult, he had fallen away from the Lord. Judy prayed for him constantly. He was taking drugs and also transporting them across the border with Mexico. He was in such bad shape that she felt like he was near death. After Judy heard the teaching, she began to take communion and declare over her son. She started saying things like, "Jesus, you died for Danny. I'm calling on the power of your blood to bring him back to you. You sacrificed your body for my son, and because of that, I call him back from the powers of darkness." Every morning she did this, not knowing if anything was changing. But after about 6 weeks, he came to her, curious about what made her so happy. She told him that her relationship with God was what gave her joy. I then prayed.